Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are still looking at The Teachings of Lorenzo Snow, a book that was given away as a Christmas gift in the year 2012 by the First Presidency of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There's so much in this book that there's still a few more citations we need to examine. Lorenzo Snow is known for the famous Lorenzo Snow couplet, as man is, God once was, as God is, man may be, and we've been discussing what that meant to Lorenzo Snow as contained in the first chapter. Well, we're going to continue looking at the subject of as man is, God may be, or this idea in Mormonism that man can achieve godhood. And that is a goal of every faithful Latter-day Saint male, that they too will also become like the Father. And according to Mormon doctrine, they will be rewarded with their own world, where they will be able to populate that world with their eternal wife that they've been married to for eternity in a Mormon temple. So let's look at some more of the quotations having to deal with this idea of godhood. And we want to start off with that has the subheading, Faithful Husbands May Become Gods.
I say to you, sisters, your husbands, if they are faithful, will be gods in eternity. After we have passed through the various ordeals of life and go to the other life where our Father dwells, even the God of heaven, the promise is that we shall be like him.
And of course, when they say we shall be like him, in other words, they will have the same attributes as God the Father has. Somehow, they believe that they will be omniscient. They will be omnipotent. I don't know how that can possibly happen, because how can you all of a sudden become omnipotent if there's already an omnipotent being, God the Father, you would think, according to Mormonism?
I always like to say facetiously, if there was to be an arm wrestling contest between two omnipotent beings, who would win? It's impossible then for two beings to both be omnipotent.
And you might say I'm making that up, but all we need do is go to Spencer W. Kimball's book, The Miracle of Forgiveness. He says right at the beginning of that book that they will have the attributes of God the Father, including omnipotence. He says it right there at the front of the book.
Now, this idea of what happens with the sisters, when he says, I say to you, sisters, your husbands, if they are faithful, will be gods in eternity. Well, what about the women? This is what he writes at the end of chapter 1 that we've been discussing, and this deals with the mother in heaven doctrine. He writes, women can become like our mother in heaven. You sisters, I suppose, have read that poem which my sister, Eliza Roxy Snow, composed years ago, and which is sung quite frequently now in our meetings, which is, O My Father. It tells us that we not only have a Father in that high and glorious place, but that we have a mother too, and you will become as great as your mother if you are faithful.
There's that term, great, to be as great. We were talking about that last week because this book starts off with that whole notion of being great. In fact, the first sentence of the book, be as great as you want to be. And in this book, it says that Lorenzo Snow was told by Joseph Smith's father that he could even be as great as God himself. That's troubling to us as New Testament Christians, but it is certainly a doctrine in Mormonism. They hope to become gods. And of course, when they become gods, just as all homage and worship is directed towards God the Father during this lifetime, it will be directed to them in the next lifetime if they are worthy enough to become a god or achieve celestial exaltation as it's understood.
Bill, one of the teachings in Mormonism is that after a person dies, a man, he will be able to call his wife up and be able to go into the celestial kingdom, but that there will be additional women that could possibly join him to be able to create the spirits of this new world. It says mother in heaven, but shouldn't it read mothers in heaven?
Yeah, and during the 19th century, when polygamy was very popular and being taught openly, it was not hidden that God the Father, the God the Father of Mormonism, that is, was indeed a practicing polygamist. Now, they don't talk about that so much nowadays because, of course, since the Manifesto of 1890, the Mormons have promised that they weren't going to be practicing polygamy. And so I don't recall any Latter-day Saint leader in General Conference talking about a plurality of wives to God the Father.
And yet it's obvious that it's believed, because while polygamy may not be practiced in the here and now, it certainly will be practiced in the future, because the top two leaders of the church, Russell M. Nelson and Dallin H. Oaks, both are married for eternity to two women each. And so you have this idea of them wanting to see both wives. They're not anticipating only one of them to be there, but they would want them both to be there. Another citation, this continues chapter 1, pages 6 and 7, and he talks about the importance of obedience. And he says, obedience and purity are requirements of godhood. That exalted position was made manifest to me at a very early day. I had a direct revelation of this. It was most perfect and complete. If there ever was a thing revealed to man perfectly clearly, so that there could be no doubt or dubiety, this was revealed to me, and it came in these words: as man now is, God once was; as God now is, man may be. This may appear to some minds as something very strange and remarkable, but it is in perfect harmony with the teachings of Jesus Christ and his promises. This is the high destiny of the sons of God. They will overcome who are obedient to his commandments, who purify themselves even as he is pure. They are to become like him. They will see him as he is. They will behold his face and reign with him in his glory, becoming like unto him in every particular.
How many Latter-day Saints do you know have purified themselves even as Christ is pure? I've never met one, and yet that is a requirement as laid down by Lorenzo Snow.
Bill, there's another quote on page 7, and it talks about Jesus, and it says, we must advance through stages to godhood. As man now is, God once was. Even the babe of Bethlehem, Jesus, advancing to childhood, thence to boyhood, manhood, then to the Godhead. This, then, is the mark of the prize of man's high calling in Christ Jesus. See Philippians 3:14. We are the offspring of God, begotten by him in the spirit world, where we partook of his nature as children here partake of the likeness of their parents. Bill, I have a question for you. Jesus didn't have to go to mortality to prove himself through obedience and purity. Why not?
I wonder if someone's going to be able to raise that question as a Latter-day Saint. Hey, Heavenly Father, how come Jesus didn't have to go through all that we went through in order to become a God? Remember, I'm not taking away the fact that Jesus certainly went through a lot during his mortality, but here's the point. According to Mormonism, he somehow became a God in the pre-existence. I don't understand how that can be and still have some semblance of consistency in the doctrine of Mormonism. Lorenzo Snow said, we must advance through stages to godhood. One of those stages is we had to come through this mortal probation, as it's understood. Now, let me read to you from a book, a manual titled Gospel Principles. This is page 10. It says, our Heavenly Father knew we could not progress beyond a certain point unless we left him for a time. He wanted us to develop the godlike qualities that he has. To do this, we needed to leave our pre-mortal home to be tested and to gain experience. Our spirits needed to be clothed with physical bodies. Now, we know that even Mormon leaders have said Jesus, or Jehovah, as they referred to him in the pre-incarnate state, did not have a body in the pre-existence. we did not have bodies in the pre-existence. But that mere fact seems to be one of the problems. Without going through a mortal probation, without taking on a physical body, we could only progress so far in that pre-existent environment. So the question I have, and I still can't get a clear answer from any Mormon apologist or Mormon leader for that matter, or a Mormon scholar for that matter, how did Jesus become a God in the pre-existence when it says on page 10 of Gospel Principles, our Heavenly Father knew we could not progress beyond a certain point unless we left Him for a time. Yet Jesus becomes a God in the pre-existence without leaving for a time.
Bill, I'm jealous because I would have liked to have had the same kind of situation. I don't know what I was doing up in the pre-existence. Apparently, I must not have been perfect, but somehow Jesus was able to do that. But then Jesus, being perfect, has the audacity to tell us that we have to be perfect. Listen to what he says outside of chapter 1. This is on page 48, but it's in the same book. This is what Snow said. We ought to improve ourselves and move faster toward the point of perfection. It is said we cannot be perfect. Jesus has commanded us to be perfect, even as God the Father is perfect. It is our duty to try to be perfect, and it is our duty to improve each day and look upon our course last week and do things better this week, do things better today than we did them yesterday, and go on and on from one degree of righteousness to another. And yet, Bill, as many Latter-day Saints have found out, it's an impossible challenge. The goal of perfection is not able to be done, and yet that's what Jesus says we have to be.
Well, when you use that word perfection, how many times do Mormons recoil whenever we even give them a verse from their own scripture that hints of that type of perfection? What's the usual answer we hear? Well, nobody's perfect. Nobody can be perfect. And yet we never even brought up the word. But yet that's what they conclude that verse must be saying. It's their verse. It's not ours. Now, the one that you just cited from Lorenzo Snow, that's, of course, taken from Matthew 5:48. Interesting, folks, that Lorenzo Snow is taking a very traditional understanding of Matthew 5:48 as it's been taught in the Mormon church. Now, as we explained last week, we don't think it has anything to do with sinless perfection. Jesus wouldn't ask that of fallen human beings. He knows that's impossible for us to do. If we could do it, we would have no need for him. But yet, that's how Mormons have often interpreted Matthew 5:48, when he said, "Be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." They look at that as sinless perfection. But then again, how many Latter-day Saints are doing that? We don't know of any.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When sharing your faith with a Latter-day Saint, it helps to know what their church has taught on several basic topics. For this reason, Mormonism Research Ministry has provided its Crash Course Mormonism. Crash Course Mormonism includes concise articles highlighting what LDS leaders and church manuals have taught on issues that will probably come up in a typical conversation. You can find these informative articles at CrashCourseMormonism.com. That's CrashCourseMormonism.com.